very much. Well, my name is Carolina Roa, consultant for international agricultural research. I've been working with a number of international organizations. Currently, I'm working with two of CGR centers, CIAT and CIMET, one in Colombia and the other one in Mexico. So this question that can IPR be a strategy for benefits flowing from public plant breeding in developing countries, I'm going to tackle it from the point of view of the CGIAR system. And the CGIAR is the acronym means Consultative Group for International Agricultural Research. And this organization, this system started in the late 60s, well, the CGR itself in 1971. But some of the organizations that are part of it actually started in the late 60s. This organization and all of the centers that belong to this system, there are 15 currently around the world, and some of them have mandate crops. So they work in different crops. So some of them, for example, work in maize and wheat. The other ones on potato, tubers, pulses, etc. And these organizations and the philosophy of them is that they produce, all that they produce is for the public good. So basically, they consider their research, their products of research, as international public goods, or for the good of the public. And what they mean by that really is that there should be the maximum possible access to those materials, and the scale and the scope need to be the maximum of them. And the targeted beneficiaries for these centers are the poor people in developing countries. And by that really, I mean, it's more targeted to small and medium farmers in developing countries, and more recently also small and medium enterprises in those countries, those that are developing locally. One thing that has changed also in the CGIAR is the growing number of partnerships. So basically, they work through partnerships. In some projects, and some people are familiar with, you know, a couple of partners, really CGR centers work with hundreds of them. So now there are what they are called the CGR programs. And for example, a CGR program typically has between 100 and 400 partners, working on those programs. So, and the partners are so diverse. So you can find, institutions of advanced research, in developed countries, in developing countries, national agricultural research centers, private sector, small and large. So all what you can imagine, of the sort of partners, they build, really to release their products out there. So basically, what they seek is better knowledge and innovation through those partnerships, harnessing efficiencies in product development, and also an effective delivery and deployment and maximum impact for the product. Because also that has changed. Some years ago, probably, in the decade of the 80s, there was an interest, of course, in delivering. But because that delivering was, really like that, as long as they, release and produce, international public goods and release it like that, they were content with that. But no more, because now there is a lot of evaluation and monitoring of the impact that they have on the farmers' fields. So with that change in their strategy, basically, it came then the adoption of different incentives for that. And one of the incentives that they have used, or they are using recently, and that is fairly recent, is the use of IPRs. So IPRs, what they use it is for a further improvement of the products that they release, of the goods that they release, or the goods that they are producing, generating, and to enhance the scale and the scope of impact. So the IPRs that are used are the ones that we have heard here. So So you have PVP, or plant variety protection, and by that I really mean plant breeders' rights, the form of plant breeders' rights in the countries of release. They also use patents and trademarks, and several of these combine as well. Yeah. So for example, PVP and trademarks they use, for the products. How the CGR centers go about it? Well, they apply on their own, for these IPRs. Sometimes they are co-applicants and co-inventors because of all these partnerships that I'm talking about. For example, in the case of patents, or in some cases, they allow others to apply for the protection. So when there is a partnership and there are multiple partners, so sometimes it's decided at the beginning, who of the partners is going to take up, the ownership of the material, let's say, in terms of the applicant of the particular IPR. And then there is an arrangement of licensing around that ownership of the material. For users, then they use the IPR in different ways. One way, for example, is non-exclusive research licenses for technology development. And again, this is when it's a very specialized technology, and then they need it to develop it further. A little bit like Rob said, some time ago, to be developed further the technology. The other thing is, for example, non-exclusive or limited exclusive licenses for crop materials to secure seed development, because we have heard from one of our speakers that it's very expensive to produce seed, right? Or it's becoming more expensive. So, and the CGR centers don't have the capacity to produce the seed, and they are not in the business of seed production. So they need other partners to take up that that part of the process to have their materials in the farmers' fields. And the other one is to protect tools and methods for service provision. So sometimes they develop tools, and what they do is they protect it, and they provide services, by using those tools. And the other thing is to ensure the quality standards in products. Another thing that it was said today, I mean, if you have a product that have particular characteristics, you want that product to maintain those characteristics once they are out in the market. So then you combine, for example, trademark and other tools to really ensure that is happening. And the other thing that, just to finish out this, is with those RPRs, really the focus is to do it on a case-by-case basis. So it's not something like a blanket policy that everything goes out, is protected. It's really a case-by-case basis according to the project, according to the needs, how, it's going to be released, etc. And the other thing that is to look after is that there is always the possibility of the research with those materials. That is something that is always kept open in any kind of undertaking that is going on. And the other one is the in case of a food emergency, then there is a need to respond to that food emergency. Thank you very much.